You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Our summer sermon series called Set Apart. And today we will be looking at one holy nation called to reach the nations. So if you were here over the past couple of weeks, we've been just exploring what it means to be set apart as God's people. And started the series with the first being set apart but not separated, where I talked about how we're called to be different people, but we have an impact on the rest of the world. And then last week, Rick talked about us being set apart, but set apart to God to be holy. And it was just refreshing being reminded that part of God's calling to us is for us to be holy, to live holy lives. So this morning I'll be taking it a bit further on and talking about us as a nation and how we are called to be a nation. I'll be taking the key Bible verse from 1 Peter 29, if we all read together. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9. So if we read. Amen. So, I'll probably start with a bit of a question about, let me switch this off. Okay. I think a good place to start is, since there's a bit of an audience participation theme going on this morning, who can tell me what a nation is? Any volunteers? What is a nation? There's a prize. Okay, Gabriella?
A country?
Good. Any other definitions? You've got it. Anyways, I'll push on. There's, okay. Juliet. Very comprehensive answer. Yeah. And that definition fits in with what I found out from the Cambridge English Dictionary, where a nation is defined as a country, especially when thought of as a large group of people living in one area, with their own government, language, tradition, culture, etc. So that's what a nation is. But then beyond that, earlier we were singing, when we were worshiping, we were talking about let your kingdom reign, about God's kingdom reigning over all the earth. And this definition that I just brought about a nation talks of a physical country or a location or a place, as Gabriella gave us. But there's something also about a nation that, even in the world, stands true. Like the nation of Israel during Bible times. At certain times, the nation was not a nation in a physical location, like during the Egyptian captivity of the nation of Israel. That nation still remained a nation, even though they were captive. And in today's world, we have nations like Somaliland. Does anyone know Somaliland? Oh, one person. Okay, a few. So Somaliland is a nation within Somalia, but it's not recognized internationally, even though it's completely autonomous of Somalia. And it's actually relatively peaceful. London has had more terror attacks than Somaliland. But this is just to kind of give us a depiction of what a nation can be. And in God's eyes, we are part of a nation. We are part of his eternal kingdom. And when we talk of nations, earlier someone saw my passport in my pocket and was wondering if I was planning to escape after the service. But when we come to the human perspective and when we think of nations, so I've got one nation here that I hold a passport for. I'm Nigerian by birth. So I have an inheritance or a right to hold the passport. I've got my second nation, which is the United Kingdom. And I've gained this nationhood through fulfilling criteria. But the great thing about God's eternal kingdom is, as we read from Galatians 3, is that actually we just need faith to be part of that nation. And the verse reads, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." So this is quite an important thing for us to grasp, that the moment we choose to accept Christ and take that step of faith, we join a nation that doesn't have any geographical boundaries, a nation that doesn't have racial divides or cultural divides, a nation that has no social segregation. So we join actually a really great nation. And do you know what? That nation doesn't need a piece of document to allow us in or out. It's just a decision we make to follow Christ. So in keeping with kind of that theme, the question is, what does being part of God's kingdom mean to us? What does it mean to us here in Jubilee Church? I don't know if any of you have ever thought about that, but this is something quite dear to my heart, because I am from another nation, but I'm fully at home in England, and I feel part of the nation, as I do also in the church. So I brought about 2 points. I'll make it short and sweet, about what I think it means to us. The first is about embracing and welcoming people and cultures different to ours. Because as we read in that verse in Galatians, there's actually no divide in God's kingdom. God doesn't care about what your background is, what your skin color is, what social status you bring. And for me, that is an important thing for us as a church to be conscious about. The example I'll cite you on that is when we decided to get married and sort out weddings, we were very conscious of the fact that there were two cultures that were often not in agreement on certain things. But we were willing to embrace that. So for our wedding, for instance, we had 2 sets of invites, one with the actual time and the other with a time a few hours earlier. I won't give hints of which nation got which. But that was our own deliberate kind of effort to embrace the difference that people have. In one culture, you turn up exactly on time or a few minutes earlier. In the other, it's much more relaxed. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it's roughly the same time. But we still got some shock, because some of my friends from London, who I wrongly gave the right time, I assumed being born in England, raised in England, gone through life in England, would honor time. So I gave them the right time, and one of them was meant to sing, but luckily we kept him as the last act. He arrived as we were walking out of the church. But we were not offended at all. I hold no grudges, no offense, because we were prepared for that. We were prepared to embrace the fact that these things could happen. And for us as a church, how would you feel if you saw a visitor who you invited to your house for dinner, and the visitor turns up with another guest and then says, oh, the food is quite bland. Can I have some chili? These are all things that can happen just because we as people come from a background. Every one of us has things that we've built up as our culture, as the way we do things. And we will be challenged by that when we open our doors as a church for all sorts of people to come in. But we just have to be mindful and deliberate and intentional about embracing others. And the second point is about being intentional about preserving our kingdom values. Because the thing with opening doors and reaching out to nations is that not everything you reach out and comes in will be holy. So we need to identify what are those things we hold true, what are those things we hold dear, what are those non-negotiables. A typical example could be worship. When we worship with different genres of music, types of praise and worship, types of beats, tones. Some people dance. And that is great. I enjoy it. But what we don't compromise is the message in the worship. So we will continue with this a bit later. I think we're about to worship a bit more. And the service will be in and out of different segments to keep everyone engaged. But as we worship, just reflect on that. What are we doing as a church to embrace others? Because we have a mission this year as the year of invitation. And that is part of us being set apart. So let's worship. Okay. So as we continue with the feast, you see, when Jesus came to the world, he came into the nation of Israel because they were God's chosen people. But the nation of Israel, a lot of them, did not accept Jesus, and they said no. So that was the wedding, because Jesus came to invite everybody to come and meet God. And so when the nation of Israel said no, Jesus got his servants in that time, which were his disciples, to go out and invite the whole world to come and meet him. And taking it slightly with a more adult theme, this, when we say we are set apart and set apart to reach the nations, we aren't just saying it because that's kind of a passion we have, but actually it's something that Jesus said when he commissioned his disciples to go out and reach for the nations. But the question is, who is Jesus sending out to reach the nations? Do we have any answers? Elna? Everyone. Yep, Gabriella? Yep. Elijah? Yes, that is very good. So my question to you is there anyone here that is not part of that? Is there anyone here that can't go out and reach for people? Okay, right answer. No one. So we read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, when Jesus came to appear to his disciples, he gave them what we call the Great Commission. Because Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of time." What we have here is Jesus calls us all to a great mission. And that mission is to reach out to others who have not found this great thing we have. Because the kingdom of God is like a feast. Everyone is invited. And we come in to enjoy the presence of God. We come in holy. We're made holy. Our sins are forgiven. And the kingdom of God is not just eternal, but it's also here now. We are part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So when we say we are called to reach the nations, I've just summed it up in two things that I think are our role. The first is we are called to share the good news, as we read in Matthew. Jesus commissions all of us because that is how the good news got to each of us. Someone shared it and brought us here. We didn't just stumble here. If you think of it, someone must have played a role in your faith and bringing you to church and bringing you to know Christ. And secondly, our mission begins from our immediate community and extends outwards. Because we can talk of the nations and all the countries around the world, but the reality is not all of us are there. And sometimes they say charity actually begins at home. Do you have a neighbor that needs to know about Christ? Do you have a work colleague that needs to know about Jesus? Do you know people struggling that you can pray for? And that is really the beauty of our faith, because our initial Bible verse, our key Bible verse from Peter, from 1 Peter 2, tells us that we are a royal priesthood. In the ancient days, you had to be a special person, a priest or a Levite, to be able to go into the holies of holies and have that relationship with God. So you were, in those days, there were only special people that had that direct relationship with God. But Jesus changed all that because we are all holy. We are all priests. And we're all called to that mission to reach out for the nations. And my challenge to you today is, do you realize that your life is the only Bible some people will ever read? How you live out your life is the only Bible, the only encounter some people will ever have with the gospel. So we all have an important role to play in getting people to know God, in getting people to know Jesus. If you are new and visiting, we at Jubilee Church, if you visit our website, you can find out what the church's mission is. Because on our website, we have that Jubilee, our big vision, is to go, to gather, to grow, to give, and to glorify. And all of that is about bringing people to know God, not just because we want to grow as a church. It's not about church growth. It's about lives. Lives changed. Amen. So we will kind of now break into a session of prayer. There are specific prayer points that we've set up. Hannah, do you want to do that? Or Hannah will just explain how we've set up the prayer points. We'll be praying for different things.
Okay, so as we've been hearing about being one holy nation called to reach the nations, we have set up some prayer stations in the canteen, which if you're new here, someone will lead you the way there. We're just going out the doors. And we're just going to spend some time going around them. We'll be praying for the nations, praying for this church, some personal reflection as well. You can take as long as you want there or as little time as you want, depending on attention spans and things. Some are interactive. Feel free to make a bit of noise. That's fine. If kids need things explaining to them, talk. It's not. We don't have to be really silent in there. And so we're just going to, in 30 seconds, all move that way. When you're done, you can come back in here, and that is the end of the service. So it's just like a free flow, move around, spend your time. But we won't formally close the service because we'll all be in there doing stuff. So as soon as you've had enough of that, or you've prayed your prayers, you can come back in, chat, meet people, and have a good rest of your Sunday. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you need pointing...